Well, good morning. Welcome to a new day. This is the day the Lord has made. And in the midst of life that is constantly changing circumstances in our lives, praise God that He remains to be the light, the truth. His love is consistent and unchanging, and He will never fail us. This morning we got some tough prayer requests. Karen Rutt shared with me this morning that she has been diagnosed with cancer, and so we certainly want to hold Karen up in our prayers. Jerry Bites has just gone under hospice care, and so please pray for Dick and Jerry and their family. And then Barbara Chilton, who is Pam Claver's daughter. Barbara lives out in the LA area, and she had a heart attack. And so Pam flew out right away to be with her daughter, and will be out there for a while. But especially with Barbara, when you see her name listed in the prayer section this morning, you know who that is. So our prayers are with all of you and your families as you go through these things. A few announcements this morning. Several of you have come up to Lindy and me and asked if we were going to share a presentation on our experience to the Holy Land. And so we've scheduled that with permission of our Bible study leaders. So Sunday, March 1st, between services, we'll meet in the sanctuary for anybody that's interested. And we're going to do it in two parts. There was a lot to cover. So we'll do Jordan and Israel in the first part on March 1st. And then later down the road sometime, we'll cover Turkey and Greece. So for any that are interested in that, and if you know of others, you can pass that word on. But between services, Sunday, March 1st. Page 9 in your bulletins, which is part of our sermon notes, at the bottom of page 9, we have a well-known person in the world, really, in the area of family counseling, Gary Chapman. And Gary wrote the book, The Five Love Languages. I use it in premarital counseling all the time. But anyway, he is going to be at Redeemer in Fort Collins. And the details are there. It's, as far as I know, still not too late to register. You just go to the website that is listed there. If you have any trouble, let me know. But incredible individual, incredible book, seminar well worth attending. It's a Friday evening, Saturday. So if you know of couples especially, maybe yourselves or others, that could use encouragement, and if you want to just continue to grow in your relationship with one another, that would be an excellent seminar to attend. And then just a reminder of our prayer group. We would like that to grow. We meet on Wednesday evenings at 5. Certainly we have a lot of things to pray for, and it's very informal. And we would just love to eventually fill the sanctuary with people praying on Wednesdays at 5 o'clock. So if you can come and join us, it's non-threatening. You don't have to pray out loud if you don't want to. But just to have a group of God's people, and especially family here at Trinity together praying, we hold up the situations that come to our awareness on Sunday, along with many other issues as well. So we'd love to have you come and join us. Goes on for about 45 minutes. So Wednesdays at 5 o'clock. Well, we gather here to worship. And this morning, the order of worship is page 151, if you want to follow in the hymn books. Otherwise, everything will be on the screen. We begin with the opening hymn. Because Christ's light has shined in our hearts, we are honored and blessed to be able to gather as his precious little lambs, as we gather to worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in light of this truth from God's word, we take a moment for personal reflection and confession. And let us then publicly confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. And Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and as such, all your sins are forgiven. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Our responsive psalm for this fifth Sunday after the Epiphany is Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord.
Who greatly delights in his commands.
His offspring will be mighty in the land.
The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches are in his house. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright.
He is gracious, merciful, and righteous.
It is well with the man who deals generously and lends.
Who conducts his affairs with justice.
For the righteous will never be moved.
He will be remembered forever.
He is not afraid of bad news.
His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord.
His heart is steady. He will not be afraid. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever.
His horn is exalted in honor.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, from above, and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Christ the Lamb.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
And let us pray. Heavenly Father, you sent your Son into this world of darkness and of death to be our light and our life. Strengthen us so that we share and shine the light of Christ throughout the world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated now as we'll continue with our scripture readings for today.
The Old Testament reading on this fifth Sunday after the Epiphany comes to us from the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, and we begin at verse 3. Why have we fasted, and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not the fast that I choose to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh, then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is found in the New Testament, the first book of Corinthians, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages of our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor heard, no heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to the Gospel of St. Matthew, the fifth chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. And Christ came to fulfill the law. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until it is all accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated now as we continue with our next hymn, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light.
Brothers and sisters in Christ. Is this on, by the way?
No.
No. I'm trying new batteries today. Maybe this was not a good thing. It's not, because they are dead. Technology, isn't it wonderful? When it works.
And the light is shining on this.
We should have a message on sound. Well, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to the gospel reading. However, as we hear God's word today in all the readings, we hear of light, we hear of God's truth, and the power of God's intervention in our lives. Light. Jesus says that to each one of us, as his precious children, you are the light of the world. I know we have a few pilots in this room, and I didn't get to fly a whole lot, but one of the most memorable experiences I've ever had, just being in a plane alone, is flying at night. And you know what? Remote airports, this isn't quite a remote one, but it gives the idea. A lot of the airports turn all their lights off at night to conserve energy because there's not much traffic coming into those little airports. But it's a really cool thing if you're flying into one of those airports, and it's just like eastern Colorado, western Nebraska, Wyoming, real remote areas, and it's just darkness to the horizon. And then there's a little switch in the cockpit, and you push the button, and that comes up immediately. Just out of the darkness, here's the runway, it's all lit up. It's the coolest thing, and you just for a moment think, wow, I've got a lot of power, you know, just push a button, and that happens. You can't miss it. There is the light. And certainly for a pilot, it's nice to have a lit runway to be able to land in the deep darkness of night. And it's so revealing of how light penetrates the darkness and how light changes things. And so in that image, as you think of the darkness being the unbelieving world, the light being you and me as God's people who know Jesus, who know the truth, this is how Jesus says we are to look. It is how we are to live. It's who we are. We are declared by the one who himself is the light of the world to be the light of the world. And we live in a world that is very consumed by darkness. You know, darkness is really the opposite of light, isn't it? And we're blessed to be the light of the world, but it's so important for us, and it's not an easy journey as light to live in the midst of a world of darkness, which represents evil. You know, there's a number of passages in Scripture on light and darkness, and these are all listed in the bulletin, by the way. You may want to just have a personal devotion and look some of these up later today. But in John 1:5, we hear the announcement of Jesus coming into the world in John's gospel. And in that announcement, we hear the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And that is what is so awesome. Darkness cannot consume light, but light consumes darkness, doesn't it? Whenever you turn a light switch on, the light is there. The darkness has to be gone. And it's just an incredible principle that we know well in life. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, we have darkness defined for us by God. When God, speaking of darkness, what is he really addressing? Well, here we hear they are darkened. This is speaking of the unbelieving world. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. And so while the light penetrates the darkness, God doesn't force the darkness to accept the light. But what a tragedy when the light of life comes into an individual's life and they want nothing to do with it. In rebellion, they choose to separate themselves from it. Well, we're saint and sinner, aren't we? Do you ever find yourself doing that in your own life as I contemplate mine? You know, we live in darkness. We are the light, but it can be ever so easy to dab in the darkness, can't it? To begin to embrace some of the things that years ago would have been totally shameful and disgusting. And now, because it's the culture, it's acceptable, it's even flaunted and promoted, it can be very easy for us to step and dabble in the darkness. You know, the world really embraces darkness. It embraces every kind of evil. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 19, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality. And look at that. So as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. Some translations there have, and they even continue to lust for more. You just can't get enough. And if you find that in your own life when you've given in to temptation, does that ever bring satisfaction? No, it just increases the desire more to want to sin in that way more, doesn't it? Darkness, a very dangerous entity, as the Lord describes it here. Indulging in every kind of impurity. Sounds kind of cultural today, doesn't it? In the times that you and I are living, there's the mentality of, you know, instead of do the right thing, it goes to this realm. You know, go ahead and do whatever that is you're doing, but just make sure you don't get caught. You ever hear that one? Or, you know, now it's be true to who you are. Be true to who you are. And so whatever you think you are, that is truth for you, right? That's what the world deceives us into thinking. That's where darkness wants us to go. Because once we go there, then truth becomes relative to each one of us. We are the ones who determine truth. By the way, who is the only one who is truth? It's God, right? He is truth. He is the source of truth. But oh, in that deception, you know what? I can define my own truth. But you know, God reveals another thing about darkness. It can only produce fruitless deeds. Darkness promotes wickedness. In John chapter 3, verse 19, Jesus says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But what? But people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Powerful language. People loved darkness. Well, why in the world would you love darkness? Well, Ephesians 5:11, we hear, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. And so not only are we called as God's people not to participate in those things, don't even dabble in those realms of life, but we also have the responsibility not to be judgmental, but to expose them. Because the one that is consumed by the darkness that may be tempting us to participate in the darkness, they're dead. And they will remain dead and lost and condemned unless somebody brings to them the truth. And we're it. God has called you and me for that purpose. You are the light of the world. And you know, darkness promotes death. In Ephesians 5, verses 5 and following, in the context of that, we hear, let no one deceive you with empty words. And there in the context, empty words means just embracing sin. And people coming to you and saying, oh, you know, that was years ago. You're really living in that world still. This is the modern world. Come on. You know, this is okay. This is the way life is today. And you need to get ahead. You need to participate in life as it is today. And so it's really a justifying of sin.
But what does God say? Because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Powerful words from the Lord Almighty through the Apostle Paul. That we can play this game of thinking we're in control, we are the authority, we are the truth as we want the truth to be. But that doesn't change God's wrath. And God has the final say in all matters. And so the warning, let no one deceive you with empty words. Well, as the light, it's important we be in the Word then, right? Remember how Satan tempted Jesus? And Jesus confronted Satan with the Word, it is written, it is written. And Satan said, oh, I can play that game with you, Jesus. And remember what Satan did? He came back to Jesus and said, it's written. And that's where took Jesus up on the pinnacle of the temple. And, you know, if you throw yourself down, you know, it is written. The angels are going to break your fall. They'll protect you. And then remember what Jesus said? It is also written, you should not put the Lord your God to the test. Think about that, though. Satan, knowing who Jesus is, still tried to deceive the Word that became flesh with his own word. I don't know about you, but that gets my attention. Because it's the way that Satan works. It's the way that darkness is flaunted in the world in which we live today. You know, confronting, exposing the sin and the darkness of false teachers, Peter in his epistle, 2 Peter chapter 2, writes these words. These people are springs without water and mist driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. By the way, God describes hell as darkness. Is reserved for them, for they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. So they were really, preying on those who had just come to know the truth, newborn Christians, and they're bringing to the newborn Christians the darkness from which they had come, trying to lure them back in. There's a real battle going on, wouldn't you say? When Jesus says, you are the light of the world, and then describes the world in which you and I live, one that really applauds darkness, and one that wants to desire it in every shape and form that you could ever imagine? How about Super Bowl? How about the entertainment between, you know, at halftime? What do you think of that? Now, in our culture today, that wasn't perhaps shocking, right? Imagine if that happened back in the 30s, 40s, or 50s. Do you think there would be a mayhem? Do you think there'd be a rebellion? I think so. I mean, that was very risque. And I mean, by the standards then, that would have been extremely shameful. But today it's applauded and acceptable. We got to be so careful not to be lured in. The good news is the power of the light. Because the light is God. It is Christ. It is his truth. And light exposes the darkness. Absolute truth can be rejected, and it is by many, but it never can be destroyed. It will never change. It stands forever as God promises. Again, in Ephesians chapter 5, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Evil cannot hide from the light. It's going to be exposed. Every secret sin that you and I may have, and we would be so shameful if anybody else knew, God knows. And through his truth, praise God, he reveals to us that that is not okay. Even if we're the only one that knows, and even if we can get away with it over and over again, God says it is not okay. In fact, it'll destroy you if you allow it to consume you. Praise God that the light does penetrate and expose evil. It shines through you and me. What a blessing, and at the same time, what a challenge and a battle for you and me as God's children. God's light shines through us individually, and it shines through the church. You know, I heard this statement recently, and it's in your bulletin handout, but the church did the most for the world when the church was least like the world. Isn't that interesting? The church did the most for the world when the church was least like the world. And when you think of light, the opposite of darkness, that certainly makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? That we should look very different from the world and the culture in which we live. In fact, if we are not in contention with the culture that we're a part of, that's when we better be careful, and the red flags are there of warning. Have we given in? I saw an interview on the news here in recent weeks of a transgender pastor. This person was a man and became a woman, and they were interviewing her about that. Well, does your church promote that? Oh, yeah. You know, this is the time we live, and we believe that we need to embrace the people that we serve in our culture. And then she had the gall to make this statement. We are not like those conservative churches that still use the Bible. Can you imagine? I mean, the heat is turning up. The darkness is not ashamed anymore. It's openly revealing itself and proclaiming itself within the quote-unquote church. Now imagine people embracing their sin, going to that church, and the church is cheering them on in their darkness. Well, that's great. There's no controversy, right? Feel good when you leave. But driving people to death for eternity. But that's not you and me, I pray. We, by God's announcement, by his intervention, declares that we are the light of the world. And what a gift, what an honor that we receive the same title that Jesus is given. For Jesus himself proclaims in John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And as darkness is associated with death, light means life when we're speaking of the light of Christ. And it's this light that alone can enlighten hearts that are dark with sin. And it's just like when you turn that switch on in a dark room and suddenly it's lit up, you can see everything, the darkness is gone. So it is when the Lord intervenes in our lives and gives us spiritual light. He turns a light on within us. Christ is within you and me. The Holy Spirit, his truth dwells within us as his precious people. And so we are that light, as Jesus says, and it's all by his grace. And so being his light, we have received the Lord's righteousness. We know his grace. We embrace it, don't we? And we know God's love for us, the cross. We know the extent that the light of the world went to deliver us from darkness. And we are blessed through the means of grace that God has called us, through baptism, through hearing his word. We are blessed to represent Christ, to represent the light who came and declares that we also are the light of the world. That's powerful. Do you ever think about that? How empowered you and I are as God's people, that we get to carry the light of Christ with us. And so Jesus says in our gospel reading, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. I know the Hesseys, they love Arizona and Jerome. I always think of Jerome. Yeah, I should have had a picture on the screen. But out in a valley north of Phoenix, Sedona, Arizona, some of you may have been there. And it's just a very dark, remote valley with these little communities there. But way up on the southwest corner, on the ridge around the valley, there's a little mining town called Jerome. And every night, I just love to go out and look. And it's just that, it's like a lighthouse almost, just brilliant light in this one little dark area, or huge dark area, you know, on the horizon. And I think of that, a city on a hill cannot be hidden, says Jesus. A lamp gives light to all in the house. Remember out on the farm in the wintertime, the power lines, days gone past, would go down, and suddenly you're sitting in darkness in your house. And we'd get the lanterns out. But what a change instantly when you didn't have access to light that you take for granted and are so used to. You and I, Jesus says, are the light of the world. And that light is transforming. In 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, God says, through this light, we are transformed. We are transformed into the image of Christ. Fits right in, doesn't it? We receive Christ's light, and now his light shines among us and through us. And so Jesus says, let your light shine before others. And how do we do that? Well, we do it by doing the good works the Lord entrusts us to do, and we do it by growing in the knowledge of his truth. In Colossians 1:10, we can see that in verses 9 and 10. God says through Paul, live a life worthy of the Lord, please him in every way. Now, we're sinners. That's not possible to do perfectly. But as light, that should be the desire within our heart. And in that, what's going to happen but bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God? We have a lot of Bible study opportunities at Trinity. And in our personal devotional lives, we have plenty of opportunities that we can continue to grow. And it's so necessary always, but especially in the times we live. In this world of darkness, we are called to live radiant lives. Philippians chapter 2, 1 to 5, at the conclusion of that section, God says that we should have the same mindset as Christ. We have his light, right? And so when people see the light within us, it should be Christ's light that they are seeing, and not that we're drawing attention to ourselves, but we want them to see the glory of God. Yes, dear brothers and sisters, light drastically changes things. I don't know if you heard the announcement or the news this past week, another individual executed in Texas. And the name of the individual was Okowa, I think is how it's pronounced. Abel Okowa. Abel was on drugs, and one night got a gun, shot his wife, his 9-month-old daughter, his 7-year-old daughter, his father-in-law, and 2 sisters-in-law. Can you imagine? Talk about darkness. Well, Abel goes to prison, spends an extended time in prison, and guess what happens? The light of Christ comes. And while in prison, the light of Christ brings him to faith. And I didn't see a video of this, but I can't imagine what this must have been like. But Abel, before he died, family was sitting there. The brokenness of the darkness had been healed by the light of Christ. There was love again for Abel and with this family. And some of his last words before his life ended were these: I would like to thank God, my dad, my Lord Jesus Savior, for saving me and changing my life. Talk about light entering into darkness. Praise God. And may we celebrate, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and may we live not to our glory, to the glory of God, to be the light of the world. WWJD, what would Jesus do? Remember those bracelets? We don't have to wear that bracelet, but wear it on our heart. Every situation. What would the light do? Because I am the light. And you are too, by the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And at this time, I invite the congregation to stand as we make confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. And would you confess with me? I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And you and I, by God's grace, are so blessed to know our Lord as he has clearly revealed himself to us. And so with confidence, let us turn to him in prayer. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you did not choose to forsake us, which you could have easily done in light of our sin and rebellion and the warning that you gave all the way back to the Garden of Eden. But at that time, Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you had this marvelous plan of salvation in place, not to forsake men and women whom you had created, but to step into our problem and deliver us from it. Jesus, we thank and praise you for being the light of the world, and we thank you for the honor that you give us that title as we allow your light to shine through us and among us as your precious people. Lord, we pray through the light of your truth as we have opportunity to demonstrate it in our demeanor and the way we approach life and the works that we do, that people would recognize that we are drastically different from the culture in which we live, and that they would see the joy and the peace and the hope and the fullness of life that is within us in the midst of the darkness. And we pray that many more then would come to know you, Jesus, and trust you and receive the honor to be declared also light of the world. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you know those in our midst here this morning and others many miles away who are going through very difficult transitions and trials in their lives. Lord, we hold up to you our sister Karen Rutt, as Karen is dealing with the shock of just learning that she has cancer in her body. Lord, for Jerry Bites and all of Jerry's family, Karen's family too, as Jerry now is under hospice care. Lord, for Pam and Ken Claver, as their daughter, Barbara, suffered a heart attack, and as Pam is out there now with her daughter. Lord, these are some of the situations that we are currently aware of. There are many more that weigh heavy, I'm sure, on our hearts and minds. And certainly another one, Vera Shum, who many of us knew. Vera used to be very active in worship, homebound now in Denver, and fell and has complications from that fall, even a concussion. Lord, life is tough on this earth in the midst of sin and the corruption that it generally brings to all of us. And Lord, just the battles that we fight. But Lord, we thank you that you have won the victory and that we live in that victory now, no matter how dire our situation may ever seem. Lord, we are your children, and as such, we live now in the security of everlasting life. Lord, we pray your blessings upon all of these and the names listed in the bulletin. Dan Jesmanek, as he continues to recover from his recent surgery, uphold them and encourage them, Lord. And in the face of the severe trials that are being dealt with, may they know as well as all of us that whatever seems overwhelming to us, Lord, is not overwhelming to you. You are all powerful. And Lord, comfort these who suffer and remind them always of the victory won. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for our men and women in uniform as we have had casualties in the Middle East again. Lord, an almost forgotten war as it's been going on for so long in Afghanistan, and yet families so greatly affected in several tours that many of their loved ones have had to make. And then to hear that two of those loved ones are not going to return home. Lord, we pray that you would surround our military with your protection. We thank you, Lord, for their willingness to put their lives in danger, that we can still have the freedom we enjoy. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for usable moisture here, and we thank you for the recent snows. And Lord, but other parts of the world like Africa, where people are starving, where life and death issues are at hand unless the rains come, we plead your intervention, Lord, and that through your intervention, many would glorify you and acknowledge you, that you are the source of all blessings. O Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all our missionaries, Lord, including John Wolfe and his family in Africa. Lord, be with them, continue to protect them, and bless the word that they are honored to share, the light, your light, that they allow to shine in that part of the world. And we pray, Lord, many more would come as a result to know you. O Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we thank you for the blessings you bestow upon Dan and Elaine Jesmanek as they celebrate their 39th wedding anniversary. Lord, we thank you for this lovely couple and all the blessings that you bring through them to us here among our family at Trinity. Lord, just continue to enable Dan and Elaine's love for one another to grow and flourish. We pray, Lord, that you would grant them many more years of life together as one on this earth. Lord, in your mercy. We ask it all in your precious name, Jesus, rejoicing that you are the light of the world, and we are honored to carry your light with us. In your name we pray as we ask your will to be done in all things. Amen.
And we stand. And the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the light of the world and scatters the darkness, and he has called upon us to reflect his light and share his compassion with others. Therefore, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. And gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, after he had supped, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. And let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Go in God's peace. Let his light shine.